welcome back to Toilets of Title. We are here at episode number 45. This is Best Ball Analytics. So as you can see, we're missing a key piece to our show, and maybe that's why bad fantasy football karma has just bit us in the ass. But Coach Jeps is spending some quality time with the family tonight. This schedule worked best for both John and Nate. So we're going live with you on Wednesday night rather than Saturday as usual. So Nate, I understand that we're able to be graced with your presence tonight from a hotel again, another hotel. Let's get a quick glimpse of what this room looks like.
Well, it isn't much different than before. They pretty much put us up at the same place every time. They got a little deal going over here in this wonderful town we're in. So, it's a pretty nice place. It's like a studio apartment kind of thing, I guess. You know, I can cook food right. And everything.
This is for work, right?
Yeah, just for work. Just for 3 weeks here, I'm gone. So,
right on. I didn't know if you were out there hunting down those fantasy football conventions for us.
I wish. You know, if there was some close by, I'd probably have to go hit them up, you know, but I don't know. I think there's one in Ohio. I guess I could head that way.
Yeah, we're going to one day. We'll go to the one in Cleveland one day for sure. Real quick, just to hit up all the little points here. We've got at Toilets to Titles is our Twitter handle for the show. Coach Sheps is our man missing in action tonight. At Nate_Dirt19 and myself at JustinFF_. Want to remind you guys to hit me up at Handler Show for an upcoming show that we will be dropping episodes probably in the next few months. But for now, we're just trying to build a little bit of a following to get started. and then we'll be dropping several episodes back to back. I'm recording a lot right now, and we'll get to that later. But also, I want to make sure that you remember to check out When a Family Breaks, John's Facebook page, which is currently we're running live on right now as we speak, because he has a much larger following there than our normal Facebook page, which you can also like. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top score for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesports.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesports.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And hopefully I got all that in without it breaking up. All right, but without any further ado, I am excited about tonight's guest because this is a guy I've gotten to know him quite a bit over the last couple of years, but I got to tell you a quick, funny little story real quick. And actually, I want to pull him on real quick. So Josh, don't say anything yet, because I want to pull you on here, but I want to tell this story and see how well you remember it first. I just want to see your reaction. So when Josh and I first met, we actually did not get off to a very great start because of a trade offer I had sent to him. Mind you, my first dynasty league, and probably one of my first trade offers ever sent out. And I don't remember exactly the details of the trade, but it essentially was Wayne Gallman for a bunch of dirty draft picks. Wayne Gallman. I do remember Wayne Gallman for Dallas Goedert. And I was going to give him a bunch of dirty draft picks to go with Wayne Gallman. But he had Saquon Barkley, and he called me out on it. And I didn't know him. I didn't know his personality. I didn't realize that he was just joking around. So I became a huge asshole in the chat. And I got pissed off because he had trade shamed me in the chat room. And I'm thinking, man, I'm new to this league. Nobody's going to want to trade with me. I got to stand up for myself. So I stand up for myself, and then realize later on through the Fusion Fantasy chat that we're in together that Josh is actually a pretty incredible dude that would never blatantly be an asshole to anybody. So I kind of felt really bad. But then the next season, Saquon Barkley gets hurt. And he probably could have used Wayne Gallman, but probably not for the price of Dallas Goedert. So I completely understand the shot down. But do you remember that?
I remember like fourth and fifth round rookie picks.
And Wayne Gallman.
That was the. I can't believe you. I cannot believe you.
I remember that exchange we had, and like, I didn't feel good about it at the end. I didn't feel like I was proud of my behavior at the end of it.
No, I think you did fine. I mean, you called me out for being an asshole and just pretty much said, well, we just can't deal then, you know, whatever it is, what it is. But I, looking back on it now, I laugh about it anytime I get ready to send you a trade offer. Cause now I just like, sometimes I want to go pick up Wayne Gallman off of the waivers just so I can trade him to you or try to send him to you.
I might take him. I'm pretty sure that I started Wayne Gallman more than I'd like to admit in 2020.
So what I have here, I wrote it down here somewhere, is we have, evidently I didn't save it. Oh, here we go. We have Josh Crocker on the show tonight at JC Crocker from Clock Dodgers Podcast, the talent of the Clock Dodgers Podcast, and lover of houseplants, yoga, and tofu. So Josh does spend some time in Colorado. He lives out there with the hippies, and he lives in Oklahoma, obviously, but I've seen pictures. So whenever he sent me something for the intro, I asked him to send me something for the intro. This is what he sent. So our meat eater co-host up here, Nate, how do you feel about our guest coming on that absolutely loves eating tofu?
Hey, you know what? This is more for me, I guess. I don't know. I more power to you, man. I would be shriveled up and dead.
Pei Wei has the best tofu in the business. Like, it's just,
I will take your word for that.
I don't know what they like do to it, but it's just like, it's amazing. It's the best stuff.
Nate doesn't even eat vegetables.
Not really.
Nate, from the sound of it, Nate climbs up and down telephone poles. Like, I, you know, I'm a teacher. I can't be so reckless with my calories.
Yeah, I burned a handful the last couple of days. It's been wearing me out. I'm an apprentice lineman, so it's been a lot of climbing the last couple of days. It's been tough.
Nice. So you guys, you practice everything, not just the books.
Oh no, it's out. Yeah, we're outside climbing all day long right now. So
at least it's cool out.
It's been gorgeous out. Yeah. It's been, you know, in the 50s today. It's awesome right now.
We got our brother in arms checking in here. He's the teacher that's at home right now, virtually teaching, and is monitoring his students to make sure that we're not screwing off too much. So hey, John, thanks for checking in, and Josh, you're a school teacher, right?
Yeah, fourth grade. But we have been, my school district has been in person all year long. So
nice.
I taught virtual, like I got the virtual job for the first semester, but in January they threw me back into the classroom because I just didn't have, enrollment to justify my virtual position. So I'm back in person teaching.
Nice. Very good. Rich is checking in. I don't get one necessarily, but I guess it just means you're looking really good. He's like tofu up there. And then I get the pity looking like a snack after he complimented your looks. He felt like he had to compliment mine. It's okay, John. I'm not here for the looks. We know that Nate is the looks and you're the talent.
No,
just the man behind the scenes. Best ball. Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk best ball. This is Joshua Bigby. You all know Joshua from Fusion Fantasy Football. And while we have that on the subject, don't forget to check out Fusion Fantasy Football. You can check out the work that our guys, our writers have been putting up there. I'm going to scroll this across the bottom. You can follow them. But Ben and Matt have been vigorously putting out some content on Fusion. And by vigorously, I mean for the last 2 weeks, they've put out like one or two a week. So, but they're going to keep putting out content and we're going to keep having more and more information out there for you. Don't forget to like and subscribe to all of our platforms, podcasts, the Apple Podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean. Like I said, I screwed up that introduction, so now I'm all behind. But definitely give us that 5-star review, even though we are obviously not at all professional. I also want to thank the guys at Moonlight and Outdoors Network for providing the backdrop here. Now let's get into the meat of the show here, which is best ball analytics. So for those of you that don't know, Josh Crocker has been putting in a lot of work for best ball analytics. And I don't know if it's just a passion of yours, Josh, or is this something that you just decided that it's just another way that you want to continue to gamble?
No, I feel like there's a lot of good lessons to be learned in fantasy football from best ball in general. I feel like most of their stuff really applies pretty well. And I've just always felt like sharp takes came from the people who were involved in best ball. So this year is my first what I think is going to be like my deep dive into best ball. I've drafted a few best ball teams here and there every year, but this year I am really trying to like take it seriously.
Yeah, I was telling Justin the other day that I was used to play a ton of best ball, but lately it's been not so much. I have a couple like best ball dynasty leagues that are pretty fun, but yeah, it's kind of died off for me. I'm really sad that I don't do as much as I used to. I said it was a blast for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up this comment right here. Does this Josh guy know anything about football or just tofu? So this is the Clock Dodgers guy that I was trying to make fun of earlier. This is Neil Maligno. What's up, Neil? Glad you're tuning in. But he's the host of the Clock Dodgers show. And from what I understand, they may be recording another episode tonight. So make sure you check that out real soon. I was listening to the episode about Kyle Rudolph getting cut and Irv Smith stepping up and having a larger role on the way in. Neil, your voice sounded just as smooth as ever. You did a great job with it, buddy. I'll catch the last 5 minutes of it on my way home. But I actually really like those small little short podcasts that he's been putting out here lately. And I mean, it kind of sucks that he's kind of one timing or big timing you guys and doing the shows without you. But they have actually been pretty pleasant. I'm surprised.
Yeah, Neil actually told us that Adam and I were not allowed to participate anymore. He told us that it was by invitation only, and that he just didn't have time for us.
Man,
yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like the Neil that we know and love. All right, so let's talk about best ball, because most people aren't going to understand a lot of these inside jokes. So I'm just realizing just how bad of a podcast this is so far. John, we miss you, brother. We really need you to keep us organized and you know, focused here, but. We're finally on to question number one. So what were some of the players with the highest win rate in 2020 in best ball, Josh?
Okay, so just looking at 2020 alone, some of the best win rates, you know, Travis Kelce came across at the top for the tight ends. And he had it's called a demotion. So he was your top ranking tight end. Not a surprise, right? Kelce went nuts in 2020. And I'm sure we'll talk about that plenty. Also in 2020, Logan Thomas was pretty big. So I don't know if anybody else has any Logan Thomas shares. I have just like one or two, and I'm happy about it. Rich, nice to meet you.
You guys probably know each other. It's Oklahoma. Probably. Like, you guys live right down the street from each other. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs and Davante Adams, along with Justin Jefferson, came in at the top of the wide receiver win rate ranks. And then at running back, Kamara, he's actually at number four overall in the last 3 years. But in 2020, number two, J.D. McKissick.
What?
J.D. McKissick. Which I love because I think that Antonio Gibson's ADP is ridiculous. So
how was anybody even drafting JD McKissick in best ball last year?
He went in round 18.
That's one.
When the people stopped drafting and it auto picked him, you mean?
Maybe. But you know, like he got some hype on the Seahawks the year before, right? And so then I don't know. I feel like people just thought he was going to get touches.
Yeah, and Clock Dodgers here. Neil is saying that Rich gets a point deduction for living with let's just say living with Josh.
We don't have a football team, you know? Like, we have no one. You're either a Chiefs fan or a Cowboys fan. Ooh.
No Boomer, Rich. Come on, we're Cowboys fans here. Go Oklahoma State.
Yeah, oh, I mean, college football is a different conversation, but in the NFL.
I just had to say it because they beat him twice in basketball in the last week. So
I heard about that. Apparently, Oklahoma State.
Is that because of a shortened season?
Now, Oklahoma State has some star player, don't they? Like,
yeah. I just forgot his name. Cade something. I should know this, but I don't because I don't pay attention close enough. I've just been watching it in the hotel.
So here at the Toilet's the Title Show, we like to bring up subjects that we know nothing about. God, we are so bad right now. I'm loving it, though. I'm having a good time. You guys having a good time?
For sure.
Heck yeah.
And then behind J.D. McKissick, of course, was James Robinson. So those are your top three in 2020 at running back. And then at quarterback, Josh Allen led the way, followed by Herbert, Rodgers, and Russ Wilson. And I really like to say that, like, any quarterback that is drafted ahead of Russell Wilson is probably being overdrafted. Because he's kind of the best. I don't know if everybody else is aware of that.
So it's kind of interesting to me that it's kind of a mixture of some guys that you would expect that were drafted early and a lot of guys that were drafted later. That part kind of makes sense. Obviously, those diamonds in the rough that just pop up out of nowhere, like your James Robinsons, are obviously going to help your team out. But I was kind of surprised to hear as many upperclassmen type guys, because, you know, Travis Kelce's great and all, and you know he's going to score a ton of points. But as soon as you take him in that second round, you're hurting yourself at another position. So, like, I'm always scared and timid to take a tight end, which, as a matter of fact, that brings me to my next question. What is the best time to take a quarterback or a tight end, since, you know, there's typically that position strain on there after so many?
You know, I like Travis Kelce is he's interesting because – I think we probably all know that Travis Kelce has been the tight end one for the last 4 years or so. And he hit last year and he hit in 2018. But in 2019, he did not hit from a best ball win rate perspective. He had like a 7% win rate, which is below your 1-in-12 chance of winning. And he was still the tight end one. And it was because he just didn't go crazy like he did this year. You know, he had maybe 60 or 70 fewer fantasy points. And so that also makes me hesitant to take a tight end as early as round one or two, because they don't just have to be the tight end one. They have to have a career type season like Travis Kelce just did. You know, in round three, it's a different right. conversation. But in round one, you know, in 2019, we saw the tight end one get drafted first and still not be a hit as far as win rate goes.
Right. That makes sense. Nate, I know you played a lot more best ball this past season and was looking to get into it more. What's traditionally your game plan when it comes to quarterbacks and tight ends?
Most of the time when I was doing it, it was pretty late, you know, I mean, kind of almost like, you know, just like one, a lot of it was one QB anyways. And I've never been huge on drafting tight ends anyways. I think I've had Travis Kelce in a league one time that I can remember, you know, or a guy even of that caliber. I usually just wait cause I'm loading up on running backs and wide receivers, but you know, maybe 8th, 9th, 10th round or something like that usually, but you know, it depends on the format too. So,
right. So what I've seen in the last 3 years for tight end specifically is we've had two hits in the second round and two hits in the third round. So if you draft the tight end one correctly in rounds, you know, two or three, it can pay off. It can. But then the real, like, this is a good bet type of hits come around round 10. So that's when you see like four out of the last six tight ends drafted in the ninth round hit.
Was there a tight end in that area this past draft that that stood out that played really well this season?
Well, Gronk was drafted in the 10th round, and he actually hit. He had a win rate of 10%. Gesicki, Fant, Hawkinson, and Jonnu Smith were all in that 10th and 11th round, and they paid off. And okay. Then later in 2020, Ebron and Irv Smith were drafted in the 14th and 15th and both had win rates of 9%, which is still above your 1 in 12 chance.
Right.
When was Logan Thomas drafted? I know you said he was, you know, top three or
the
whatever.
19th win rate, but... round. The 19th round, and he had a win rate of 17%. Yeah.
That's wild.
So J.D. McKissic and Logan Thomas very well could have won you best ball leagues if you were a big Washington fan.
They would definitely would have helped. Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy. All right, so who are some big late-round targets for 2021 then?
Okay, for 21, you know, okay, the drafts that I have been in, what I have seen is that there's a big, like, really third tier. I've got Kels is his first, is the, my first tier of tight end, and then Waller and Kittle, and then Andrews. And then you have this group of Hunter Henry, Logan Thomas, Dallas Goedert, TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant, Ingram, Gesicki, Ebron, Hurst, Dalton Schultz, and Austin Hooper. And whoever's around in the double-digit rounds, like 12, 13, 14, I'm taking those players.
Hear Blake Jarwin on that list?
You're into Dalton Schultz?
No, did I hear Blake Jarwin on that list?
No. No Blake Jarwin. Probably should have. Probably, maybe. You know, I've been wrong before. I'll tell you this. My rankings are based, like, completely off of volume. Like, last year's volume. So.
Yeah, my thing is like, I was really big on Blake Jarwin going into this last season. Like, very bullish. Nate can tell you, like, I was obsessed with that guy. And then he gets hurt in, like, the first half of the first game, and he's out for the season. Or, like, really early, whatever it was. So I have a strong feeling he's coming back. He's still going to be the tight end with a healthy Dak Prescott. I'm going to be bullish on him again, and I'm going to do it again and again until he retires or until it happens.
And it may. It may happen. Like, and if he's around, as he will be, in the 19th and 20th round, he's probably worth the pick because tight ends hit that late.
This year's Logan Thomas, right?
There you go. There you go. You guys are just trying to make me feel good, but I'm okay with it.
I mean, even in a 20-round best ball draft, like, I know those names that I said were not super deep, but that's really about as deep as I'm having to go to roster three tight ends. Like, those guys are just – they're hanging around in ADP.
So if you don't get the third by the last round, then go ahead and pick up a flyer on Blake Jarwin, and then you can just send me a check later for my part of the winnings.
You know what else I like? I can't say his name, but it was the Denver tight end who's not named Noah Fant.
Big O.
Yeah.
Albert O something. Yeah, the kid from Mizzou.
Yeah.
Just call him Big Al.
I feel like he's worth a late round grab. I don't know. Like, it feels iffy, you know, second tight end, Denver, who's the quarterback. That it doesn't feel like a solid play, but a dart throw is a dart throw.
Yeah, I took him in a dynasty league somewhere. I don't remember which one, but I kind of held on to him. And, yeah, I saw a couple of decent plays from him this season. So if he gets a chance, you know, I could definitely see it. And I'm really big on Mo Alie-Cox this season as well. Being a Colts fan, I think if that's the dude has hands the size of a Buick, right? So if Wentz can even just get it in his area, obviously Wentz he had good tight ends and he utilized them. He loves to utilize tight ends. So I know that Trey Burton's still there. Jack Doyle's still there, but I don't see Doyle being there much longer. And I was talking to the infamous Uncle Steve earlier today about our tight ends, and at the time I told him that I just didn't see the opportunity for Malachi Cox. But if they don't go out and get somebody else, I think that's another really late best ball dive that you could go with in the last round at this point of the season anyway, until they do sign somebody else at tight end, because I don't see Jack Doyle being around much longer. That's just my two cents. Nate, do you have any obscure tight ends that nobody cares about in the world that you want to talk about?
Now, you know, not off the top of my head. I'm just trying to think of some when you were talking there. I was trying to think of some good random ones, but I don't know any ones that I still think David Njoku is going to do something one of these days. I don't know if it's going to be in Cleveland or not, but I still have high hopes for him just because the talent's there. Hopefully, I just wish he'd get traded somewhere and could do something, but it probably won't happen. I'll just probably just keep having Logan Thomas everywhere and maybe a couple of Jonnu Smith shares if I'm lucky.
You know, I really feel like the Browns would do well to play in just a super heavy two tight end set, put Njoku and Hooper on the field at the same time, run the ball. And Baker apparently could use the help at the short areas of the field, just getting rid of the ball. So I feel like if they made it their mission, they could utilize both Hooper and Njoku, Jarvis Landry. Who knows what OBJ is doing? I feel like it plays to their strengths in personnel.
So you're saying they need an improvement in the coaching room?
Well, if you subscribe to like the Chuck It Deep philosophy, then I just don't know. I don't know how healthy OBJ is ever going to be. But right. Like if you think that is what wins fantasy or what we're in the wins NFL games, and maybe it is.
Right.
Like, I think that they probably.
I agree with you. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And yet, Rich, I was trying to set up Nate there when I asked him if he wants to talk about any obscure tight ends that nobody wants to talk about or cares about, since everybody knows that I also absolutely loved Jay Sternberger too. And Crocker's probably looking at that name like, who in the hell is Jay Sternberger? that's another guy I was wrong about this offseason. So. That list could continue forever, though. But here is a good one by Rich too.
You know, the Sternberger problem, you know, is that Big Bob Tonyan just was too good to have another guy getting the ball thrown to him, so it didn't really matter.
That's fair. What about Harrison Bryant?
I think Robert Tonyan. I don't think he's good at football. But I think that he's good at knowing what Aaron Rodgers wants him to do. And if I have correctly interpreted the facial expression of Aaron Rodgers, like, that's pretty damned important.
Yeah. If you're able to do that, you should be teaching a foreign language.
Yeah. Bob's Tenyon's nothing special by any means, you know, but like you said, he knows what Aaron wants. He's where you got to be when he throws the ball. So, you know, that's, it worked out for him this year. He'll either get paid or he'll stay in Green Bay. So,
well, clearly I'm not as good at segueing to the next question like John is. So I'm just going to just interrupt what we were talking about and go straight to top rookies to target and how early they're going in best ball leagues right now.
So I actually have some notes on this. I looked at the wide receiver win rates over the last 3 years, and three of the top 10 since 2018 are rookies. So, you know, you've got Justin Jefferson, who paid off big this year, had an 18% win rate. Terry McLaurin in 2019 had a 17% win rate. And then Brandon Ayuk last year had over 15%. And so, like, it just seems like when you get past about round 13, which is not that deep, you know, we go 20 on some of these drafts. Some of them go a little less, a little more. Like, you've got time. I feel like rookie wide receivers are a pretty good bet. And so looking at this year's class, Ja'Marr Chase is coming in at 70, the 70th pick. Okay, that's, I don't know. I can't divide by 12 in my head, but the 70th pick, it's a little early. It's a little early, but he's, and then you've got Devonta Smith at pick 83. And the rest of them are 132, Waddle's at 105. I feel like when you get past about round 13, which is, excuse my paper flipping, that's where Justin Jefferson was drafted. So, like, if we have one of these rookie wide receivers gets enough draft capital, first or second round, and their ADPs don't jump drastically, I feel like they're a really good best ball pick. Just for the unknown.
For the record, I don't mind the paper flip. It makes it sound like a really professional 1940s radio show. And President Roosevelt has once again lived up to none of his lofty campaign promises.
when you are looking at names like, you know, Savon Ahmed, Ahmed.
It's Ahmed and your boy Neil Maligno and George in the Fusion chat definitely put me in my place on that one. And I fell to them and I agree with them now. It is Ahmed.
I feel like that's really what should be the rookie wide receiver range. They present a lot of upside.
Yeah, absolutely. What about rookie quarterback?
Well, Justin Herbert registered, you know, this year. He came in at 12% and he was drafted in round 10. So I wouldn't get too excited about Trevor if he's drafted in single digit rounds. I don't know if we're going to get that crazy. And then Josh Allen, not a rookie, but I feel like there's a chance, but in Dynasty, I feel like rookie quarterbacks are a bad bet. And in best ball, I don't think they're much better. Like, the answer is draft Russell Wilson.
Well, what about Dynasty where you don't already have a quarterback and you have to draft a rookie?
You've been talking to us about this, and I feel like what you're doing is pretty sound. Like, you've looked around the league, and the price for decent quarterbacks is ridiculous. And so, you know, an early first is a more reasonable purchase price. Like, I'm okay with that in that situation.
He gave me a pile for the 102, so I was happy.
Yeah, I gave him a couple of starting running backs that he really needed and the 107, too. So he's going to still be able to likely get the running back that he wanted in the rookie draft.
Yeah,
so.
It worked out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to start quarterbacks. And sometimes, I don't know, I feel like drafting a quarterback in one of those leagues is okay. But, you know, like if this was a true stock market, you know, we act like dynasty leagues are a stock market where you can just freely buy and sell players. It's not really like that.
But I would explain why I suck.
I'd rather buy the Tom Brady's of the world, you know. I'd rather buy Matt Ryan. I'd rather buy just the guys that are kind of known quantities. But in reality, they're not always available.
Right.
That's why you're such a big Russ Wilson fan, because you know he's going to cook every year.
Yeah. I know he's going to cook. Yeah, he's so good.
He is. I'm not taking that away from him.
Nate, it looked like you had a question for him.
Yeah, as about rookie running backs, are they going crazy high? Or, I mean, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, guys like that, or are they kind of falling?
So if you think that one of these guys is going to be drafted in the first round, and honestly, I don't know, they might be. I don't know what the fantasy community consensus is, but right now I think they're going around the fourth in best ball, and that's too cheap for a first round drafted rookie running back. So if they go in the first round, I think they'll be a deal, but If they don't, if the entire league, which seems unlikely to me, given the way things have been lately, if the entire league just passes on running back until the third round, then, you know, then they're probably priced appropriately to a little hot. Do you guys have any idea where these guys might go in the actual NFL draft?
I've been looking and watching, and I don't know how many mock drafts I've looked at, and I'm still trying to get one done myself, but it's a lot harder than I thought it would be, I guess. But I think there's what I've seen, a couple, maybe two in the first round, and then maybe a third in the early second. But I mean, obviously, who knows what's going to happen, where guys are going to get traded and everything like that. But, you know,
doesn't it seem like those early or those first round running backs haven't really panned out very well the last few years?
Yeah, it does, right? Like Sony Michel, Rashad Penny, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They've been rough lately. But yeah.
But then Frank Gore can still run for another 800 yards again next season.
He will, because he's a machine. The other thing, I don't have these notes right in front of me, so I'd like fake paper turning. But the running backs into running back four still contribute positive win rates. So even if these rookies, if they get drafted later and they are drafted appropriately and they have, let's just say, late season pop-up games, they can still be a net positive to your fantasy team, even in best ball when it's just redraft. And the same with wide receivers, really. I feel like the point distribution, you know, how often they hit that 20-point mark is probably more important than their season finish.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but for best ball especially, it's, you know, can be about as important as it gets. You know, I'd take three or four of those 20-point weeks instead of 6 points every week.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, the last subject that I have that I really wanted to try to touch bases with, we have a ton of cheap stacks that we have written down here. And I don't mean a downtown working girl necessarily, but kind of about the same value on some of these guys, I tell you. But some stacks here that you might be able to get in best ball that might really be able to pay off. Because if you guys remember, there were a lot of people, like, for instance, that were down on Aaron Rodgers this past season. And if you got Adams early and then hit Rodgers late, that really paid off, you know. So there are some stacks out there that are extremely interesting. That Nate and I jotted down here. So, Josh, I figured you might be able to look through those and see, based off of what you know so far this offseason with best ball and the drafts that you've done, for one, is stacking players like that something that you typically tend to look at in best ball? And for two, if it is, which of these guys really kind of stand out that you might be interested in trying to pick up? And I hope that the answer is that you do like to stack players, because it'll be a much shorter show if you just say no.
I do like to stack players. I do like to stack players. And also,
that's my last question.
I feel like the science of stacking is still a little bit murky, you know, because I feel like the first step is you have to understand that you can, yes, Rich Gonzalez, yes, stack those players, all of them. So I feel like the first step is you have to understand that if you took all of your players and totaled all of their points on the season and you had the most points, you could still lose that best ball league, okay? Because that's not how it's won. It's the season based off of weekly scores. And so because of that, you can have a lot of wasted points. Like, let's just say that you're horribly, horribly unfortunate and all of your players drafted go off in rounds one through four, or I mean weeks one through four of the actual NFL season. Everybody goes off early. You could have a humongous point total and you could totally just lose that league. Like, it just, You need correlated points. You need correlated points so that your points aren't wasted. Okay. And I, you know, I haven't like gone through and I don't have the spreadsheet that actually shows this, but just something tells me that having quarterbacks and wide receivers, especially, or quarterbacks and tight ends, having their points correlated leads to fewer wasted points. And that's besides the obvious, like if I'm right that Devonta Adams is going to be really good, then I'm going to be rewarded. Like when you stack, your lineup tells a story. And we've heard from a lot of DFS guys that your lineup needs to tell a story. And I think they're right in saying that. But I think there's more.
And I'll tell you what, if I was really good at the whole sound drop thing, that's like an awesome. Sorry, I think I kind of cut in at a bad time. I thought you were frozen. It was me. But if I'm good at the sound drop thing, I hope I can go back and upload that where you said that when you're finished drafting, your team tells a story. That's like some old man, really awesome advice type stuff. Like that's very wise information right there. I like that.
Yeah, it's certainly not mine. Like I feel like you need to understand that when you draft a best ball team, that the team you are setting out there should be sort of coherent in the sense that it makes sense that this is the thing that happens that leads this team to winning. And so stacking is a way that you make that happen. You make that story be apparent in your drafting. Okay.
How many stacks of Russell Wilson and DK and Tyler Lockett do you have?
Oh my God.
All of them.
Pornographic. So DK's going like in the second. DK's going in the second, which I feel like is fair. Lockett's going in the fourth or the fifth, which I feel is more than fair. And you know, I've only just begun to draft, but I don't have enough rush yet. I really don't.
That's good.
But I feel like that's a very solid approach.
You can make it work.
Hey, real quick, while I still have internet, what is the site that you use since draft.com is no longer available to us?
I have been using Drafters. Because they have an app.
They have an app. Nope. Looks like they have an
app. Yeah. Nice. And I would go to FFPC, but my understanding of FFPC is that their drafts start at like $35, and I'm not dropping that much change, folks.
Right. Right.
$35. I'd rather play for $1.10 and draft, you know, whatever, 500 teams.
Yeah, I agree.
It right now.
Yeah, I knew that was something Nate would be into right off the bat. I actually asked that question for you, Nate.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, I was going to ask him earlier and I forgot to, and I knew I would, but
Draft was such a good product.
I loved it.
And FanDuel bought it just to snuff them out. Yep. Those bastards.
Yep.
And they had some best ball drafts on their app. And I think I did one last year or something, but it was a weird format and it didn't, you know, that drafts app and everything was so easy. Just everything about it was easy and it worked really well. And then I like FanDuel for, that's right, you know, gamble and everything like that. But like that, their best ball on there is terrible.
Yeah. I probably have like $12 sitting in my FanDuel account and they can have it. I'm just not, just don't care. Probably not going back.
draft was a lot more consumer friendly. Like as a consumer, they took my money really fast. So it didn't take long at all. So some of these stacks here on this list, though, I'd really like to hear some of them that you're really interested in. some guys that you think could potentially be game breakers for a best ball team in 2021.
Okay, so first of all, like Keenan and Herbert, I think is super good. I think that's Justin Herbert, just in my own personal rankings that I did based on what happened in 2020, Justin Herbert came out just sub elite. Okay, so I feel like Herbert has. Herbert has a bright future ahead of him, and Keenan is perennially undervalued. I want to say he's going in round three. It might even be round four. Keenan's underpriced. So that's a good one. Okay. Baker. I don't know. I don't know if we ever see Baker Mayfield give us a positive win rate.
It's a dice roll. And I just realized how bad that looked on camera, so not do that one again.
I thought we were talking about something else for a second.
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, Baker. I was like, oh, all right.
I love Baker Mayfield, but not that much. Hey, guys, listen, if you're listening to the Apple Podcast version of this show, you really got to check out the show on YouTube because you're missing our little lines at the bottom and the inappropriate hand gestures.
So to make an attempt to get the train back on the track.
And while you're on there, hit that like and subscribe.
Burrow and Higgins, I feel like both of the players are just like a smidge overpriced. Like, I don't hate either one of them, but I'm not sure. AJ Brown and Tannehill, I feel like that could hit. And if Corey Davis, is his future decided?
No, free agent.
Okay. Okay, so if they retain Corey Davis, then yeah, I like that. Also, both of the Texans' wide receivers, if they come back, and when I say both, I mean Fuller and Brandon Cooks. If they come back and they're playing with Deshaun Watson, I feel like there's major potential there. And like this is probably the season where I should be really dropping the hammer on those guys because that future isn't so known. And then Dak PD, sorry, go ahead. Please do jump in.
No. I was saying I definitely agree with that for sure. Especially Fuller. Like he proved finally that he can stay healthy, relatively healthy for the majority of the season. He does that again. I mean, sky's the limit for that dude.
He does it again. He gets tested again and he only plays half the year. Is that why he stayed healthy?
That's still a little fresh and still maybe kind of it fresh. Is.
But if you were him, wouldn't you do it too? Like, yeah. I don't think the conversation we had about McGuire and Canseco was actually recorded, but like, I appreciate you, Will Fuller. I appreciate you.
Hell yeah.
All of the performance enhancing that you did.
I mean, think about a guy like that that's missed three seasons like that due to injury. And he's right on the verge. Like if he misses major time again due to an injury, he may not ever get another shot in the NFL again. I don't blame you. You know, people are out there juicing. You know, they're all doing it. If you're on the edge right like that, you know, or if you're one of the greats, like you're really good and you just want to be great. Like I'm cool with that too. Like make the game fun for me to watch. I don't give a shit. Like it's your body. You do what you want to do. I want to see people hit.
Especially if, like, I would imagine that Will Fuller probably feels like he has Randy Moss things to contribute, right?
I think so.
You know, these guys don't get where they are in life by being humble. I'm not saying that he is Randy Moss, but I feel like he probably sees that in himself. And, like, it would just make it that much easier if I were him. To just juice a little bit and stay healthy and be like, yeah, that's right. I can do that.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way.
My fantasy teams rely on you, so go for it. Just by the way, just for context here, this comment is brought to you by my wife, who must have saw the hand gesture. All right, let's move on. What? Who's next? Who's in the next stack, Josh?
Okay, Dak and CD. I'm old enough to remember that there was a point in the early NFL season when it was definitely CD Lamb over Justin Jefferson, right?
Yeah,
I remember that. And CD Lamb and Dak is a pretty cost efficient stack, if you ask me.
Yes. So,
what I usually end up doing is drafting my wide receivers, three or four of them, and then just, you know, reverse engineering a stack. So if I end up with CD, I would be looking for Dak for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And you're going to be able to get Dak so cheap off of this injury. Like, everybody's always scared of the, of certain injuries. I don't think this is one of those injuries that you need to be scared of. I mean, it's Dak, you know, he's going to ball. And, but what Justin Jefferson did do also in being so awesome is that he did make it a little cheaper to get CD Lamb, right? So CD Lamb is still just as good as he's ever was going to be. It's just that Justin Jefferson is a little better than most anticipated. So that actually helps his value.
And the Cowboys defense will continue to stink. So Dak's going to throw the ball a lot. So, you know, get that going for you. Yeah, there you go. Another one.
And then in the whole Stafford Cup Woods thing, like, it'll be really interesting to me. Like, this, because the Rams offense has been such a low air yard offense, you know, and I kind of believe that they were just hiding Goff, that it was like a throw it short, let the wide receivers run the ball because you're not very good, because you're, you know, Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill type of a thing. It'll be interesting to see if Ryan Woods and Cooper Kupp become different sorts of players.
And Van Jefferson.
Maybe. Or Josh Reynolds.
He's free agent. We'll see if he's there.
Okay.
I've been scouring the free agent wide receivers for my Packers. So, you know,
okay.
Waiting for a phone call to let them know who they should send some money to.
We saw the opposite happen this year. You know, Godwin and Evans, like, they were both hurt, but their air yards evaporated when Jameis Winston left and Tom Brady came to town. So I feel like it's possible that all of a sudden Woods and Kupp have their air yards inflated by Matt Stafford, and he has supported two wide receiver ones in the past with Tate and Marvin Jones. So,
just for context, for those of you listening on the pod, Josh loves air yards. This fusion chat that we're in, like, every time any player is brought up, it's like he had this many air yards. You want to talk Terry McLaurin, you want to talk T.Y. Hilton, if you want to talk Kirk Cousins, he'll come up with some air yards for you.
that is like one of the main things when I look at quarterbacks is how many air yards are they distributing.
I like, yep, that. I'm gonna put that into my scouting now. I like that.
So, I mean, it is legit, though. I mean, if you think about it, it says a lot about a potential opportunity.
I think it does. You know, another, like, with quarterbacks, the interesting thing is this year, I think I sort of saw that you want their air yards to be pretty balanced with their yards per attempt. And so, like, Carson Wentz was chucking a ton of air yards but not converting them. So that was a bad sign. Whereas Russell Wilson chucks a ton of air yards, but he converts them. And then you had guys like Jared Goff, who were very high on yards per attempt, but low on air yards. And that means you're, you know, Alex Smith 2.0.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, nobody had less than Drew Brees.
That was rough.
I don't know whether to call Drew Brees like the most washed of washed quarterbacks, or if we just like clap and applaud his transition to being an old man.
Because I don't know if he hasn't retired yet. He might be back.
It depends on if you owned him or not.
He'll just be doing those like rugby shovel passes to Kamara the whole game next year. Yeah. He's back.
Yeah. Like, on the one hand, like, he knows what he's working with. And he's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, Tom Brady's the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. He can fire that thing.
No, I mean, obviously he still has a lot more than Drew Brees had, but he also doesn't have nearly what he did have. So it's like, well, no. You know what I mean? Like he's embracing his old age and playing with what he has, you know. And making it work. And I think for the most part, Drew Brees really did this year. Like, even though his stats kind of sucked, they still were winning games, you know. And I mean, and especially you got to think coming off all those fractured ribs as well to finish up the end of the season like that. I mean, I don't know if that took Cajones or if it took, or if he was just a little stupid for doing it because they might have been better off with Taysom.
Your tongue. Better off with Jameis. Come on now.
I think Cajones is okay to say. You mean
because I can't stand Taysom Hill.
Gotcha.
I'm also mourning the loss of Jameis Winston. You know, like, this is a thing in the NBA. I've heard retired players talk about their transition to old man basketball, where you stop winning off of like dribble drive and you start winning off of picks and moving without the ball. And just like things you used to do in four steps, now you do them in two steps because you're old. I feel like it's a real thing in football too. And Drew Brees is doing it.
Definitely. I'd still like to see him just retire though. I mean, I felt bad for how bad of a season it was at the end.
Yeah.
But
this game is pretty rough.
I tell you what, guys, we're pushing our limit here on time. And I'm also pushing the amount of time that Home Depot is still going to be open, and I have to make a bit of a run here. And especially now that I know the wife is watching, you know how that goes. I promised her we'd be out in an hour.
What are you going to go buy, Justin? What do you need from the depot?
For the record, Lori, Cajones is spelled with a J. I've looked it up.
Oh, got her.
I got to get some paints and some varnish and some other stuff, like, or not varnish, maybe varnish. I don't know. The wife has been, she does an awesome job of refurbishing furniture and stuff. So she's been doing a lot of that and selling it and turning some profit for us. So,
nice.
So she's got some of that stuff that she needs picked up, and I told her we'd be out within an hour. So, because Home Depot is open for like 54 minutes now since we were running late. But if I don't do it tonight, then I'm probably going to get it when I get home. So real quick, want to remind you about When a Family Breaks on Facebook. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out Ball Handler Show at Ball Handler on Twitter. Just click that follow for me. I also want to give Josh an opportunity for his outro here. Is there anything that you'd like to promote or bump up?
Check out the Clock Dodgers podcast. I don't feel like it gets enough press. Give us a listen.
I mean, we do talk about it a lot just because I love Neil to death, but obviously you've been an amazing guest. This has been a lot of fun. I'm not sure that the listeners actually got anything out of it, but hopefully they at least got some entertainment, because I know I at least had a lot of fun.
I did too. I had a great time.
Awesome. All right, Nate, you got anything you want to say?
Just thanks for tuning in. Like I said, hopefully you learned something. If not, well, like Jess said, hopefully you had fun. I know I did. And everybody just, hey, we're almost there, I think. We're just going to keep staying positive and testing negative. I got the t-shirt on, you know, just doing good.
Hashtag on brand, baby.
Where'd you get that?
My brother-in-law got it for me for Christmas. I don't know where it came from.
I feel like that translates to so many professions. Like, as a teacher, yes. I 100% wear that.
Oh, yeah.
All the teachers at your school should just walk in wearing that t-shirt.
Yeah, staying positive, testing negative.
That's
right. Especially the high school.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Don't forget to check us out at Toilets to Titles. And then, of course, at JustinFF_, at Nate_Dirt19, and at Coach Sheps. And thanks for tuning in. Have a great night.